Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. Well, second half, we have comedian Amir Kay joining us in the studio and news coming up as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
What does a party mean to you? Good times with friends? Loud music and exotic dancers in cages? Little people in cupid wings swinging from the ceilings? Whatever a party is to you, we know how to make it better. By popping motherfucking bottles. And Corolla Drinks has got you covered. We're proud to introduce to the world the bubbly nectar that is sparkling brosé. We captured the stone and tropical fruits from our original brosé and added a little more party. Pop a bottle at brunch, on game day, at a brisk, or in the club. We promise, wherever you are, just got better. Hurry, this limited first run will run out to get your first bottle of sparkling rosé for only $25. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and let the party begin. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, you'll love this. When I was in junior high, my buddy and his brother figured out what day they delivered the new Playboy magazines in the mail, and they would go around and steal all the magazines out of the mailbox. Then the next day, they'd bring them into school and sell them for $5 a pop. Entrepreneurs, get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Amir Kay is in studio. He's a stand-up, and he's got dates coming up, Boston, Mass., Off Cabot Comedy, it'll be September 16th and 17th, and you can go to AmirComedy.com if you want to find out where he's going to be doing comedy in a city near you. Good to see you, Amir Kay.
Good to see you, my man. Thanks for having me on.
So I guess we got to talk Mad TV since Adam Ray was insisting we talk Mad TV, but I don't know what the story is.
Oh, no, there's no story. I mean, we were just they did a Mad TV reboot. I don't know if you remember in 2016.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, not a lot of people do. So it came on. Super excited to be a part of that, you know, that thing. It was like I grew up watching Mad TV, you know, and same with Adam. And we auditioned around the same time. They saw like 2,000 people, and we were lucky enough to book it. And then it lasted a season on the CW, and that was it.
But you can say you did it.
But I can say I'm part of it. I still tour with that credit, you know. People still bring it up, so that's kind of cool.
Well, and also you can kind of do the – Mad TV and leave it at that. Like, they don't
right.
have to know.
Yeah,
it was
they don't
the
know
unsuccessful
have to.
Reboot.
I know, I'm sick like that. You know, I have to like, I have to explain to them. It's like, well, you know, because people bring me up like that and then they look and they're expecting like Bobby Lee or Will Sasso.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's me and they're like, who the fuck, who is this guy on there?
You know, oh, yeah.
Like, did we miss him?
And you're compelled to tell
yeah,
the
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, you know.
But so are you from Iraq? Is your family from Iraq?
No, Iran. Very
oh,
close.
Iran. Sorry.
One border away. Thanks, Adam.
Screwed that one up.
We were at war for 8 years, but you know, who's counting?
What's going on with Iran now?
To be honest, man, I don't know. My dad, you know, when I graduated college, he took off and went back to Iran because, you know, just with a little bit of money, you could have lived well at that time there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just the economy went to shit, you know? So he lost everything and now he's back here. So I haven't been back since 86 when we came. So I was born there, came in 86, and my family just kind of stayed here.
Did he get divorced or did he just?
Oh yeah, my dad's been married like 7 times, dude. Yeah,
good for him.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
Set up franchises.
Yeah,
yeah, right. He's made a lot of women disappointed. Yeah. So,
how's he with? Speaking of disappointment, how's he with you in the comedy?
At first, he was kind of like, "What the fuck are you doing, man? I brought you to this country. You know, go do a career path that's like, you know, sure to be fruitful." Mm-hmm. And he was kind of bummed out. That I was doing it, but then I started touring with like Maz Jobrani, and I don't know, you know, Maz in the Iranian community is like huge. So as soon as I started doing that, he was like, "Oh shit, this is like actually
now you're
legitimate."
Somebody.
Yeah. So it was like, and then his friends are calling and telling him like they've seen me on things, and so that's I think when he finally came around. So now he's totally cool. As long as I'm making money, that's all they gave, you know, really care about.
I think the parents and the dad, but the parents overall, like I interview comedians all day, and you know. Some of them, their parents did not want them to go into comedy. And we all know that dad. I don't know. That's the jazz singer dad.
Sure.
The dad that's like, you can't, you have to go into the family business or whatever it is. Now, everyone kind of knows that archetype and they're like, oh boy, that sucks. You got the dad who's disappointed and you got to prove it to him or something like that. I would argue my dad is far worse, which is my dad is, you just got to leave.
Yeah.
Whatever the
Get
fuck.
Out.
Do whatever the fuck. You want to do gay porn, do
don't
gay
do
porn.
Here.
Don't do it in the living room.
That's great.
Go fucking out of the house. But there's a probably a healthy balance mm-hmm. between caring a little too much, like I forbid you from doing comedy. Right. You know, you must go into become a dentist. And versus my parents are like, I don't give a shit what you do. Why are you even asking us?
Right.
And there's probably a healthy supportive balance in there.
I think by no means was he like, you can't do this. You know, and like he wasn't like that crazy about it. He just didn't give a shit. He really didn't care. He just wanted his kids that he brought here from another country to be successful in something.
I wonder if I would have said to my dad, I'm touring with Maz Jobrani. He would have went, who?
You know Ahmed,
why are you talking to me? I told you to leave.
No, it was just that was a point of like, okay, you reached a certain level. And I was making money touring with him. And then now, obviously, you know, headlining weekends and doing my own thing. It's, you know, he realizes that.
Does he come to the shows? Does he get the jokes?
He really enjoys it when he's there, but he doesn't come too often. Like my mom is far more like wants to be a part of it and comes all the time when I'm doing shows in Hollywood or like the Irvine Improv. Because I grew up in Orange County, so like she'll come with all her friends and be like, get my son. So they're proud.
I got one of those.
The danger of having the family members in the audience is we talk about it all the time. You can go, oh, it was a joke. Come on, it was a joke. You mean it. You mean all of it. You don't think of jokes just out of whole cloth. You have to have the bitchy mom or the fucking sister you hate or something. You have the wife, the girlfriend. It lives.
It starts somewhere.
It lives somewhere.
I've gone over my share of game film in the radio industry with supportive parents.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Just in general. I feel you.
Yeah. Your parents have signed off on all your horrible jokes?
Yeah. No, my mom comes. She does this new thing. It kind of annoys the shit out of me, but you can't, you know, I'm on stage. So she'll do this new thing where if I'm talking about her, talking about us growing up or something, she'll, and if I'm making fun of her in any way, she'll go from the audience, like if she's in there, in the room, she'll go, shut up, I'm here. And then it gets a laugh.
Oh, she'll heckle you.
Yes. Well, she does it. And then it gets a laugh. And then it's like, oh, God damn. And now she's like learned that this is her. And then she'll look around and be like, oh, and then I have to acknowledge, that's my mom.
Mm.
And then, you know, people applaud. It's a whole thing. But it's so annoying.
Do they, are they traditional? Do they want you to get married? Have
we're so
kids, like
far
want grandkids
from,
and stuff?
We're so far from traditional. No, they're just like happy I'm not, you know, on drugs. Like just strung out somewhere. So they're just happy, you know, to do whatever. They weren't like, oh, you have to marry an Iranian girl or nothing like that. Yeah, we kind of.
What if you were gay?
I think they'd be cool with it too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that progressive.
Bellwether. Yeah.
Totally.
I was watching the news and they were talking about fentanyl being brought in, these little candy looking pills and stuff now. And I was like, I think I'm going to have to talk to my 16-year-old kids about, like, if somebody hands you something and says, oh, it's just a Vicodin or something, like, fucking the fentanyl thing, it's just pop, just dead. Yeah. Like, am I going to have this crazy conversation?
They're rainbow colored. You absolutely have to. They look like, they look like Pez.
What is that? What is...
It's insidious. They're doing that on purpose.
I feel like we as a nation, we're all over the road. Like, China's bringing over this shit. They bring it to Mexico. The cartels bring it here. And everyone is ODing. Can we get upset at somebody or, like, say something or, like, make a stand or, or denounce something or something? Or you just kind of got to roll with it?
It's incredible. I don't even know. I mean,
yeah, they're all they look like sweet tarts.
Yes. And it's insane that we've had, like, God, I don't know, overdose deaths have gone insane in this country over the last year. And we just don't have thoughts about it.
Please excuse the L.A. Center question. Amir, why are there so many Iranians in Westwood?
Specifically,
I think everyone immigrated. I think at the time when
Beverly Hills
during the revolution, you know, 79 or whatever, like a lot of the Jewish Iranians moved, like right after the revolution, brought their money and settled kind of in Westwood, Beverly Hills area. And then after that, like post revolution, when we came, there was the Iran Iraq war, and that's why we fled.
Okay.
And that was, I think, the more Muslim Iranians, and then they moved to the valley for some reason. I have no idea why.
Can't drive down Wilshire Boulevard and I see the goddamn flag.
They call it Little Tehran.
Yeah. They do. Great food.
It's excellent food. Really Westwood good. Boulevard has some of the best Iranian Persian restaurants in the country.
Student Cafe is fantastic.
Excellent. I went to UCLA, so I'd go down there.
Oh, you know all the places. Yeah.
I like the stereotype, but I don't have a lot for the Iranians.
What's your stereotype? Give me some.
Well, I definitely
love demonstrating on Wilshire Boulevard.
I definitely, you know, we have to kind of understand. I mean, maybe there's like Africanized killer bees, and then there's honeybees. You know, we get the honeybees, the Africanized killer bees. They're both bees.
Yeah.
But the Iranians or Iranians who move here are probably the honeybees.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck is
what is the
analogy?
Yeah,
it's a compliment.
And then everybody else is the Africanized killer bees living over there.
They come here, they move to Westwood, they go to UCLA.
They start up a pastry shop with just delicious looking pastries.
Yeah, the pastries are excellent.
Yeah, I'm all right. With the honeybees.
The productive honeybee.
Yes. Sure. You can get stung once in a while, but it's usually because they're scared or you step on them.
It's a defense. Mechanism.
That's right. You went to UCLA to study what?
I studied history and poli-sci. That was like in the lie phase of my life when I was telling my parents, you know, like, hey, I'm going to go to law school or something. But the whole time, I just wanted to make them happy, you know, that they brought me here and it wasn't for nothing, you know. So
yeah, that's a burden.
It's such a burden.
It's a burden. I was born in North Hollywood, so there was no burden. It's like, we didn't bring you to Valley Village for a reason, son. It was like, we're just here. Everyone just fell out in North Hollywood. Well, I live there. But being brought here.
That's the pressure. That's where the pressure
now
so
you
comes
must thrive.
On you. I don't even think they necessarily put it on me. I felt it. You know, my brother felt it. So they were like, all right, we got to do something because they brought us here and sacrificed their whole life for us. So, you know, let's make it worth something. And then that's where I think the pressure comes.
Yeah.
And I tell guys now, it's great to see like younger, you know, Middle Eastern comics or whatever. They're like, hey, man, I've been watching you since I started, you know, 12, 14 years ago, whatever it was, and inspired a new generation of guys that never thought that they could do stand-up because their parents were like, what the fuck? That's not for us. That's
right.
You know, that's for the people that were already here. Like, you don't do that. And I think that's the most, you know, that's the coolest part for me.
How old were you when you came here?
I was five years old, no English, straight from Iran to Southern California. No English.
Do you remember it?
I do. Yeah, I had a Mexican accent for like the first 3 years. I was just like, you know, mimicking the kids around me and stuff. So we grew up in like City Orange near Santa Ana.
Oh, to LA.
Yeah.
Did what business was your dad in?
My dad came. He was like a developer in Iran, and then he came here and he started working for Caltrans. Like he was just an engineer.
Mm, the Yeah, it's when you hear about people coming from certain places, they go, my dad was really successful and he had all these apartment buildings and then the government took it.
Yeah, that's how it is there. They'll just come and be like, hey, this is elite. We're taking this. And that's just kind of what they did to him this last like few years.
Really? Is he he's back now?
He's back here now. I was, you know, my brother and I are trying to make it away so we can move him back out here so he can live comfortably. But it's, you know, he lost everything. He moved there with a little bit of money and then everything went to like a tenth of what he, you know, had in the bank. It went down. It's just like so sad for the people that live there.
So you're going to UCLA. You're trying to make your parents happy for all the calories they burnt getting you out here. And then
shut up, I'm here.
But you have comedy in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. You're nursing a head full of jokes, but you can't start doing it, or can you?
I would do it. Yeah, I was like in an improv group, you know, at UCLA, like some college improv troupe or something. And then like any elective class I'd get, I'd take a theater, you know, theater class, like any elective you got to pick, I'd pick a theater class. And I wanted to be in like the theater department and at UCLA, but you couldn't, once you transferred to UCLA, you had to stick to the major that you were. And mine was like history because I just took the whatever the easiest one was. I like went to the classes and whenever I saw the most like athlete backpacks, yeah. That was the like class I'd pick.
Rocks for jocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Geology.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so
that's
I'd go to
tell.
And the athletes all had these blue like UCLA backpacks. So I'd be like, oh, this is the class I'm going to take because you get to go sit in on a couple, you know, you get to audit the classes. So I'd go and sit in. I'd be like, okay, count the backpacks. And I was like, these are the ones I'm going to take.
Smart.
I'm trying to think what you wouldn't look for. Like what would drive you the other way? You know, I mean,
chopsticks.
Oh my god! Yeah,
the pocket liner would probably be on the guy.
Yeah,
but there used to be smart guy tropes: pocket liner,
the
glasses.
There was a website. It was like rateyourprofessor.com or whatever. Yes. And I'd look on there, and it was like whoever was the easiest, I'd just pick those with the backpacks.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how I'd get by.
And so you started doing comedy. Well, you started doing real estate, right?
I did. I was a real estate appraiser forever out of because, you know, during that, like I graduated in 2004 from UCLA and, you know, the real estate market was going nuts. So all my friends, they were like my age, you know, like 21, 22, they're making all this money because everybody was doing the loans and mm-hmm. and I had a really good friend of mine who was in the real estate appraisal business. His dad owned a company and that thing just took off. And so they were doing all the appraisals for all the, you know, the subprime mortgage companies. So they were making a killing. He was like my age. He had like two Porsches. He bought a house in Long Beach. So he said, come live with me, man. You got to come, you know, work for my dad. So I went there and I started making a ton of money. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then I bought a little condo in Huntington Beach. And then like 2006, 2007, the market took a shit and I just lost everything. I didn't, you know, I was dumb too. We were like partying like idiots, spending money on just the stupidest shit, you know, going out getting tables. And
what's the real estate appraisal. I fucking hate those guys.
It's so silly. It's like you could teach a monkey to do it, you know?
They're the worst anyone has ever had to have anything appraised. Fucking hates those guys. They always come in about 30% too low on your property. Now, Brian,
what's in it for them to do that?
The bank.
The bank.
Oh.
So what
lend less money.
What it is like, Brian, you have a house. Mm-hmm. You can go on Zillow. You can go on Redfin. You can talk to a neighbor. You can talk to your wife. You probably could narrow down the worth of your house if you were to – I said you have to put it up for sale on the first of the month. You'd be right in there.
Yeah.
You'd be right in there.
15 minutes of research. You'd
be right in there. And if that number is $1.7 million, the real estate appraiser would come in and go – you'd get it back. After you've paid the motherfucker, you'd get the thing back and it'd be $987.
Right.
And you'd go – it is not worth – it is worth 1.7 to 1.9. And they go, well, they got it at 97. And then the bank goes, well, we got to use this whatever. And then you say to them, why do you always come in low? Why do you always go in? Well, because they work for the banks and they have to play it safe. And I'm like – how about you just fucking appraise shit
racket.
At the price it is?
Fuck you, Amir.
No, that's why I was like, now I know why I'm here. You got a bone to pick. But at that time,
bone.
Adam, when I was doing appraisals at the time I was doing them, it was the exact opposite.
Ah.
So the banks were coming in, these subprime people were giving anybody that had a pulse a loan. They were just because the market was filling in for that value. So even I'd appraise a house at like, let's say, $580,000, and then the loan officer would call me and be, hey, we need another $30,000 on this. And I would do it. We just, that was part of the housing bubble problem, because we just go, okay, because by the time the loan funded, that house was worth, there was comparable selling in the neighborhood for, you know, 610, mm-hmm. whatever. So it filled in that little gap of whatever it was. So it was the exact opposite. So they would keep calling us and we'd give more and more and more. And then—
Are you still certified? Because I need shit.
No, I'm not, but my brother is. If you All do, right. my brother, he can give you a value. Like, that's the thing. And within 15 minutes, I'm on MLS and I'm looking at the comps in the area. And I would know within 30 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes, like what the value of the house was going to be. I just, you know, drove there to make sure there isn't fucking railroad tracks in the front yard, you know, or like a KFC in the backyard or some sort of external obsolescence that's going to screw up the value of the house.
Let me tell something to all the young kids listening. There is no motherfucking thing. There's no such thing as good credit. There's just bad credit. And then there's credit. Because I just refinanced my house. And I get back with my guy, my money guy, and he's like, well, we had it all set up with this one bank, but you're going through a divorce, so they won't do it. So the other bank will do it, but it's another $2,400 a month. And I'm like,
I feel like, not that it's any of your business.
I'm like, I, in the course of my life, have... I've probably done about $40 million worth of motherfucking real estate, of warehouses and condos and homes and renovations, all been bought cheap, sold for a lot. Every fucking note has been paid. Every I has been dotted. Every T has been crossed over the course of 25 years. 25 motherfucking years of just buying multi-million dollar property. I'm not $30 million property, but $7 million this or $2 million thing that you sold for $7 million. That's all I've ever done for 20 fucking 5 years uninterrupted. And if I fucking found a warehouse across the street and I talked to my guy, he'd go, they need 20% down. And I'd go, can't we do it with 10%? They're not doing 10. Where's Mr. Drysdale? Where's the banker? Where's the guy I grew up watching? Do you get good credit? I know there's bad credit. I know you get punished for bad credit. You fucking defaulted on a couple of fucking payments for your credit card, and now you're going down to Galpin Ford, and you want to get a Mustang, and you go, you got bad credit. But if, in fact, there is such a thing as bad credit, then shouldn't there be something called good credit for motherfuckers who just buy shit? Times, I mean, I can't even sit down and list you all the condos, all the houses, all the warehouses, all the shit I bought over the course of 25 years and never missed a payment. No foreclosures, no defaults, no nothing. I get fucking treated like any motherfucking other person on the planet. They don't give two shits on this crazy history of buying for and making on-time payments on commercial real estate or properties or land or anything. They don't give two fucking shits.
You don't get an attaboy for looking at an impeccable loan history?
They have rules. And the reason they have rules is because Amir fucked it
we
up for everybody.
It up. That's what I'm saying.
And now I'm just lumped in with the poor Mexican family who got screwed buying the place in Orange County that could never should have got the loan for in the first time. Exactly. This is the problem. We go, rules, okay, no more of this. No, yeah, I didn't do that. I bought shit and paid for all of my stuff.
That'll show you.
It just applies to everyone. There is no fucking... It's like driving, you know. There's like you can get DUIs and you get tickets. There's no good credit. Right. You're just a driver, and if you get pulled over, you get pulled over. That's it. You cannot accrue anything. Fuck these assholes.
But have you noticed since like 2007, 2008 that it's been more serious with that, or is it the whole? Because I feel like it was a lot easier.
It's just the bank.
Maybe we should ask you, Amir.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
The bank can't go. We know Corolla. He's a stand-up guy. He takes care of business. It's just like 20%, 20%, and they go, we can't do this, and we can't do this. Their hands are tied. There's no more, you have a banker.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's just, here are the rules. Mm-hmm. Rules are dictated by the government, and you're playing by the same ones. First home buyers, person buying a condominium in Van Nuys for $321,000, we have the exact same set of rules as me in warehouses and homes all over the place. That's how it works. and everyone thinks I'm an asshole, fuck you. You go out and get a bunch of fucking, you earn a bunch of credit and do a bunch of shit and never miss a payment and then just get lumped in with all your poor, sad sack asses. Fuck yeah. That.
I guess real estate, yeah, it's the banks have just tried to protect their shit even more, but I think it's silly too that they can't discern like somebody like you as opposed to the first time home buyers.
Shut up, I'm here.
Fuck off. It's getting so, I should have never told you that fucking story.
All right, let's see. Let me hit a spot here and then we'll get into some news. Concrete. That's why I'm so jazzed up right now. I'm drinking mine. It is creatine. Your body needs creatine. Half comes from your diet, but most American diets, your body makes half and then the other half comes from the diet. Most American diets are low in creatine rich foods. Concrete, patented creatine HCL is the favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. The number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds of body weight. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell. Your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. Your immune cells need it to protect you, and your heart needs it to pump, and your lungs need it to breathe. So let's get some concrete. Am I right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card available now online and in store at Walmart. Concrete is truly life changing and performance enhancing.
Yeah. Shut up, Amir.
That's right. That wasn't me.
Being a rich guy used to be something in this motherfucking country. Now it's just get the fucking line. There's no, you get nothing. It's got the same rules, same deal, same.
You alluded to it, but I thought about your classic rant, which you haven't done in a while, with the DMV today, and it was everything you'd expect, just delightful. And I was in the back of my mind, heard Corolla going, where's the guy from the commercial? Where's the helpful guy in the commercial who's like waving you over and, welcome, sir, how can I help you? Where's that guy? I want that guy.
Yeah. Was I talking about the DMV?
No, it was about customer service.
Customer service gone to shit. I mean, it's gone to shit. I don't know.
No, I was yelling it at an airline when they were locking me out of a flight 23 years ago. And I was like, I want to talk to the guy in the commercial. And they're like, who? The guy in the commercial.
Right this way, sir.
I left my briefcase at the lounge and he grabbed it and ran behind me before I got into a taxi so I could have that commercial. The commercial where the person's super helpful. Get me the commercial guy.
A briefcase. Yeah, that was the 80s, huh?
Yeah.
That's right. An attaché.
What happened to briefcases?
I think backpacks just took over.
Took over the strap around the shoulders.
Yeah. Well, you know, the backpack probably went out with the slacks and the suit, which is
the briefcase.
It ushered in this weird board short flip-flop kind of chillax thing, and the briefcase didn't fit well with that.
Yeah, you need your cargo shorts, your hoodie, your Zuck look.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Shall we take a quick break, and we'll come back and do some news with Amir K.
Let's go.
Right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Big news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the last Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, has died at the age of 91. Mr. Gorbachev came into power in 1985, was recognized for opening up the USSR, for his reconciliation with the West and ending the Cold War, but he was unable to prevent his country from collapsing in 91. The hospital where Gorbachev died said he had been suffering from a long and serious illness, but that is all they wish to report about that.
Yeah. He was the perestroika guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time ever. It was kind of like, oh, there's someone semi-reasonable is doing some position of power somewhere.
Now, I'm glad you're sitting because Putin thought that Gorbachev was a disgrace.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's the chef's kiss of approval. You know you're doing a good job when Putin hates you. You have to worry when Putin hangs on every word and falls in love with you.
When he sends Dennis Rodman over to do some business.
That's a bad thing.
Well, Brian reminded us the other day that, first of all, I didn't know that Gorbachev was still alive.
A lot of people didn't.
Yeah. Mm. Might be time to pull out another dead or alive game because this one surprised me.
I've said this, but they're the last crazy white people on the planet.
The Russians.
Yeah, there's no other. We used to have a lot of crazy whites, you know, throughout the ages and history, and
a lot of colonizers.
Kind of, yeah. But we turned them into honeybees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What happened?
Yeah, Scandinavians settled down.
Yeah. The Vikings, you know, the Visigoths.
Yeah, like, now they're just like completely, what's going on, man? You're cool. It's like,
Flurgen.
It's like a lot of fucking battle axes and Vikings, and now we got IKEA
and helmets
and Volvos and stuff. Like, they've settled in. Russia, what's up? You're the last.
They're the holdout.
The fucking holdout whiteys. They're the last crazy white people on the planet.
That's a very good point.
That's all they got left.
There are other, you know, there are other cultures, white cultures, you know, they drink a little too much or they whatever, but these are the last full blown fucking violent, nutty, crazy white
Genocide-ish.
People, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
What if they like that distinction?
I was going to say, if something happens to them, if they got their shit together, does that make us the last crazy white people?
We might inherit the throne.
Oh, shit.
Well, it ain't going to be Sweden. It's probably not going to be Canada. I mean, we're going to have to take a long look in the mirror.
I think we're a couple school shootings away from being considered.
We could be it.
The most craziest.
Maybe they should keep it up.
That's right.
Brian's
That's
right.
a very
That's
good
right.
point. Mm-hmm. So... This you may have heard of this woman. It's been passed around on social media a lot the last few days. A judge in Saudi Arabia has sentenced a woman to 45 years in prison for the crime of using social media. Her name is Noura bint Said Al-Qahtani. She was charged with damaging the country through her social media activity, but officials have not provided any details about what exactly she damaged. The court's charge sheet claims that she's guilty of disrupting the cohesion of society and destabilizing the social fabric. Last year, a 34-year-old woman was sentenced to 34 years in prison for criticizing the kingdom on Twitter and calling for equal rights. Saudi Arabia
I don't know how the Saudi Arabian prison scene, but you don't get much cred in the joint when you're was a Twitter offense.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you want cop killer.
Yeah, what are you in for?
I used Facebook.
TikToking too hard.
Yeah.
45 years, what a light sentence, though, you know? This
comparatively
should have been put away for life.
That's
yeah.
right. Well, women only gain the right to drive and go in public without an escort, a male escort, in the last couple of years.
As they should.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, your dad's all for that.
Yeah, right.
I don't even know how I got here today.
First off, you want women to drive so they can leave. You know what I mean?
Never when I'm drinking.
Well, I mean, wait till you have a couple of kids and they're 16. Like, I'm sitting around with my son. I'm going, hey, get your driver's license. I'm good. No, get it. No, I'm good. Don't worry. I'm not worried about
you.
I need you to leave.
Worry about me.
Yes.
My mental health.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but that's a pretty lofty, like, that's some Game of Thrones shit. Disrupting the cohesion of society and destabilizing the social fabric.
Those countries that do not, look, no driver's license for the ladies, whatever these cultures are, and they don't golf.
Mm.
You can't get away from your bitch for 10 minutes. It's a horrible
She wants to go out. You have to go with
out.
Her.
Yeah. You want to, the best societies are, I'm going golfing for 3 days.
You go
drive around the block.
Yeah, do whatever.
Oh, but they don't even have fantasy football.
Oh, my God, Brian.
What a Shonda.
Oh, my God. They probably don't. Brian's probably right.
Probably not.
They probably don't.
Julian Edelman join us, by the way, tomorrow. So that'll be good. But, what year is it?
That's
I know I keep saying that. What year is it? Wasn't this... We're going to cure, I don't know, wasn't the computer going to fix everything or something?
Yeah, this feels very days of yore.
It's also like, oh, there's human trafficking coming in from south of the border, and then she's in jail for 45 years for sending out a rogue tweet. Like,
that's
what
crazy.
Year is it around here?
Well, and speaking of that, I just watched this long-form interview with this girl who's – well, she was now at UCLA, but she escaped from North Korea and gory details. But, like, they don't have internet. Like, you can be imprisoned for not getting one of the 18 approved haircuts. We've all heard that. It's the staged scene that happens when you're a visitor. You're only allowed to go down the main path, and they're like, and action. The buildings are empty.
The storefronts,
the people are starving.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say her father got put in a work camp for the rest of his life because of black market trading. He was trading some glass, some actual glass, to get rice for his kids. So they don't even want their own people eating. He was in prison. And the other rule that I have to double check that this is real, because this is too insane. It's to, I think, de-incentivize leaving. If they find out you left and you're out, they will kill your whole family. So to de-incentivize you from leaving.
Where's this?
North Korea.
What if you hate your family?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that is a perfect crime.
All right. So can we do this? Can we mobilize all the crazy bitches whenever they do the Million Woman March because they're worried about the transgender community here? Can we get some of their ire, some of their start a letter writing campaign or something?
Dear
Focus it abroad, pardon the pun, just a little bit, of the people that are actually getting the fucking acid thrown in their faces for reading a book. Like, can we do that?
Yeah, it's not that bad here when you look at the news.
No.
You
know? And I think, I mean, there's a lot of that, but not when it comes to the armchair work that we all are so excited about. We don't really talk about this stuff.
I'm just saying, anyone who had the knitted pussy hat on and was listening to Madonna screaming about blowing up the White House 5 years ago, why don't you take some of your asses and focus it on, let's go international.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a war on pronouns here, and there's women going to jail for 45 fucking years in Saudi Arabia.
Expand your reach. Yeah, expand your reach.
Yeah.
Yes.
Diversify.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about.
I will say, look, we need to just in general sort of go global, which is if we think we're going to cure, you know, we assume we're going to cure global warming because California makes a decree about, you know, electric cars or something. Well, good luck when China's doing whatever China's doing and India's doing whatever India's doing and whatever developing nation's doing whatever. So I would say the same with the women's rights. Yeah, okay, we'll drive an electric car and we'll focus on our pronouns, but we've got a bigger problem brewing on the other side of the world, and focus on that a little bit. Because we're never going to be able to have all women's rights. Or good luck with global warming as long as they're burning firewood.
Yeah, you see, like, go to India and see what's going on there with the emissions laws and stuff. There's zero.
There's emissions laws?
No.
Right.
You just, like, burn whatever.
Should the UN just make, like, a big master list and we'll just tick off?
I would like,
as we go.
I would, you know, I said it many times that the cities here with their pie in the sky names like Hawaiian Gardens is a dump. Okay. But if you're living in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, and you're looking to relocate, you might go Hawaiian Gardens.
Sounds cool.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, this looks
cool. They got a casino?
Then you end up in a shithole. I'm saying let's just give out numbers. Mm. You know what I mean? Westwood, probably top 10.
I'd say
enough
so.
For your people over there. Mm-hmm.
I'd say top five.
But now Westwood, all right, it's an all right name. But if you just said to me, and I didn't know, would you rather live in Sun Valley, California?
Ooh.
Or Westwood, California?
It's a coin toss. Yeah.
Sun Valley sounds nicer. Right, but you would be wrong.
Yeah.
So what we do is we assign numbers. No more names. It's just Westwood, you're number 8. Sun Valley, you're 557. Now we know.
So we just do this like radio markets.
Let's do it with countries.
Like, oh, I live in market 2.
Yeah. We have to do it with countries too now. Figure out, you know, how you treat the ladies, certain labor laws and tax codes or things like that. And we'll give you a rank.
I don't mind this.
That sounds good.
And we'll know.
Okay. Canada, what rank?
Oh.
Canada's probably moving the wrong direction because they have that fucking Trudeau asshole trying to shut everything down. But they're a perennial all-star.
I love parts of Canada. Like, you go to Calgary, there's like guys with like "fuck Trudeau" like on their phone. You know, case.
Oh, you get out to Canada?
I do. Yeah,
I haven't been there in a while.
It's quite fun.
Canadians are a weird batch because we're kind of talking about traveling to Canada. When you go to Canada, they fucking shake you down hard.
To get in. Yeah, yeah.
They're fucking assholes. They're not polite. They're Gestapo-esque. And they do not mirror what you think of as Canadians. Yeah. They are fucking tight. That I've been pulled out and told to sit over there and, you know, sit and wait. And I think Mike Lynch got pulled out when they were traveling once. Like, they treat their border and they treat their customs in a very Gestapo-esque fashion. Anyone who's had to do business in Canada who's had to deal with these pricks have fucking will tell you they're tough. They don't have the kind of laissez-faire approach to coming into their country.
Well, as somebody south of their border, I feel that that's very oppressive.
You should feel oppressed.
I do feel oppressed.
I remember they just get what they tell you all the time. They go, don't tell them you're doing business.
Yeah.
Don't tell
them you're working business. Here.
I'm just here for fun. I'm just here for fun. Because if you say you're working, they will fuck you up. So then I got pulled out of line. So, what's your business here, eh? And I'm like, just having a good time, just looking around. All right. Mind if we look through your backpack there? Opens the backpack. Pulls out an itinerary with like 5 days of nonstop 8 a.m.
meeting.
Car picks you up at 8 a.m. Car drives you here. Then there's a drop off. And then you're going, we were selling the man show or something in Canada. Me and Jimmy had like 75 things to do in 3 days. You know, and the itinerary was all laid on the coast. Just hanging out, drinking a few beers. Huh? What's this?
What do they care? And, what's the difference?
Well,
you have to pay taxes.
Well, they think you're getting paid.
Yeah.
So they go, what's this? Good morning, Quebec. What's this? You know, on Tuesday. And I'm like, you don't get paid for that. And they go, why wouldn't you get paid?
Look
you're
on at TV.
All the stuff you're doing. I go, no, this, you're doing radio. You're doing TV shows. You're promoting. We're just promoting. We're not getting paid. And then she goes, I don't get it. You're doing all this work. You're getting paid. And I said, listen, when Michael J. Fox goes on the Tonight Show, he doesn't get paid. He's promoting something. And she goes, who's Michael J. Fox?
Oh,
and I go,
God.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Boy, are we fucked. We're not going anywhere in this conversation. Now there's nowhere to go. We have nowhere to go anymore in this conversation. You do not know. This is just 15 years ago. I had no idea who Michael J.
Fox
was.
She said Norm MacDonald.
But that's who they only hire those people because – it's like all the people that work security. They've never heard of anyone ever. They'll never let anyone through. Like, hey, that dude from now.
Yeah. You never got recognized at any of those border crossings?
Or maybe they
that
did. Maybe they did recognize
me. Like, hey,
heard me talk about him too many times. I don't know. All right, Jim.
Well, somebody else who would very much not like you to move away is the Californians here. Many people out here have been moving out of state, but billboards are kind of mysteriously popping up in L.A. and San Francisco. They're warning residents against moving to Texas. Have you seen these?
No.
Newsweek reports that nearly 250,000 residents have left California between 2020 and 2021, mostly because of lack of affordability. Almost one-third of those are moving to Texas. But here, I'm putting up a billboard right now. Oh, the billboards caution residents against moving to Texas. They say things like, don't move to Texas. And
I thought that was a show.
No.
Seemed like a video game.
The Texas Miracle died in Uvalde.
Like Usher's new album.
Right. Yes. So they cross out don't mess with Texas and they put don't move to Texas. Lack of affordability is the biggest push behind Californians leaving. Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, found that the living wage for an adult with a child in California, the living wage, $84,000. And in Texas, it's less than $60,000. But we don't want people
to. So you need to get to 84 to live.
That's right.
And my average age is 54.
Right.
So we're.
So you got to go. You got to go where you can survive.
But who's?
I think Joe Rogan paid for these billboards.
Who's putting the billboards
well,
up?
That's why the two sources,
this is going to work like, oh, we got to boycott Chick-fil-A. All I heard was Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. What about moving to Texas?
Not with Chick-fil-A. That's all I hear is, oh, yeah, I got to move to Texas.
True. Well, that's the thing. It's been referred to as mysterious billboards. It doesn't say paid for by anybody. It doesn't say that on there. So I don't know. I mean,
the Texas Miracle died in Uvalde.
In Uvalde, where the last shooting was. And I guess the Texas Miracle, that was not the current governor. Who coined that phrase?
I
think
don't
it was the last governor of Texas. Let me look it up. But that was like a saying.
But all right. So listen. All right. I'll go along with you on this, which is, this place, my money will go a lot further. And it's a lot less regulated and gas is cheaper and I don't have the fucking government up my ass and I could afford a house, but there's a chance my kid could get shot at school. And my feeling is they got it out of their system. Now's the best time to move to Texas.
Yeah, like
you know
right
what
after
I mean?
An earthquake, there's not going to be another
one. Yeah, not going to be another one for 20 years.
No.
But you could also get your kid shot at school here,
or
you could just get shot here. I mean, feel like there's crime here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this was – I think this was a poorly planned statement. I don't know that this is the thing. I mean,
could you make that out? You're driving by this billboard. Do you make that out?
No.
It looks like a show about the school shooting.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. Exactly. Like a doc.
Like we literally, I'm not joking. I was with three comics. We were leaving the Comedy Store. We saw this billboard last night. One of them goes, they already made a movie about the school shooting.
Right.
Wow. Like literally yeah. said that last night.
Yeah. And I was reading.
We didn't think twice about like reading it or anything.
Exactly. I was reading an article about this and one of the, they interviewed like a marketing guy and he said, when you're driving by something, you have less than 3 seconds to make it clear. Yeah. Nobody can figure this out when they're driving by.
I feel the same way about the line in Kugel beer billboard. It's like, I can't read that fucking fast.
Right.
I've never seen the bill. What is it?
Lion Kugel beer. Like Wisconsin, right?
Lion Kugel has a cursive.
Script, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and, so it's even hard to read.
Yeah. Exactly. Waffle House, I got no problems with. I can read that shit. Even it if I can't get past waffle, I know the word under it is house.
Sure.
I know where I'm going. Lion Kugel, it's like it takes a minute, and I can't read fast enough. Plus, I have to use my finger, even in the car, even from 200 feet away. I have to pull the finger out. Yeah, I would think this would be a movie.
Or a video game.
Or a video game. Yeah. So I drive too fast to read Lion and Kugel.
Yeah. Speaking of that part of the country, I did get fairly breaking news, a picture and a text just before I got here. My good friend Kristen, who you all met at the wedding, her mom is in town in the middle right now of making Special K chocolate bars because she's making bars for us. And I said, can you please bring another pan so I can bring them to the show? And she said she'd be honored.
Special K bars?
The bars!
How do you do a Special K bar?
Okay, so...
Minnesota mom.
Obviously, the two most important ingredients, excuse me, comedian funny man, are cereal and K-Row syrup. Or sort of molasses, some sort of a delicious binding agent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go ahead, you're going to mix that with your butters and your sugars. Mm. And then you spread just a real, this is the only time I ever use this word, liberal amount of chocolate on top. Sure. Let it cool. You cut them up into bars and the people go crazy. I'm trying to enter it in the Minnesota State Fair next year.
What do you think Amir's mom would have to say about this, Brian?
Shut up, Amir. You got it.
Yeah. That's going to live forever.
Oh, so I'll bring you some bars.
She's bringing – and the Special K is –
She likes the Special K ones the best.
What are some of the other ones?
Oh, you can do it with anything.
Oh, you can.
Any type of dried cereal if you mix it with enough K-Row.
Mm.
But all right.
Shut up.
Special K is like her like secret recipe.
Mm, I'll bring them in.
Oh, we have some bad news. I guess I shouldn't editorialize. Leonardo DiCaprio is single again.
Mm.
So I don't know who we feel sorry for or who we don't. The 47-year-old Oscar winner has broken up with his 25-year-old model girlfriend, Camila Maroney, after 4 years of dating. So I guess he waited till her 21st birthday to date. In 2019.
Look at that pouch on Leo.
Yeah.
I just saw a graph this morning. Like, it was sent to me in a text group of all the ages of the girlfriends and then, like, his
trajectory.
Yeah, his trajectory of age going up. And none of them have, like, gone over 25.
Wow, yes.
And it just stays at the same age.
That's what he likes about those high school girls.
It's like the fourth quarter of a Warriors game. One goes up and one stays the same.
Yeah.
25, so they've been dating since she was 21. An insider said that they seemed pretty serious. He would refer to her as the girlfriend. She met the parents, but something went south.
Look, eventually you got to
talk. Oh, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
That's
look at that. It's like insane.
That's great. That graphic.
Dude,
is great.
20. What do you talk to a 20-year-old?
20-year-old when you're 40.
What the fuck are you doing?
Listen, I can't get contemporaries of mine. Don't get half the fucking references I'm throwing out there. And then what ends up happening is you lose the subject of music altogether. You cannot talk about music
because
they've
music.
Never fucking heard of any band that you're ever discussing.
I don't know what K-Rock is.
And
who's that girl, Winter?
They're and at 21. Look, I get – and by the way, it's not like – a 34-year-old woman is a sack of old bones or anything. I mean, plenty of good-looking 35-year-old women for him to date. And he'd still be 10 years plus their senior, right?
Yeah.
We forgot he was 40 what?
44?
47 now.
47.
Oh, this is older. Okay.
47 now.
Remember when – I forgot he was with Bar Raphael and she got on all that tax trouble in Israel.
Right. Right.
So interesting. Yeah. There's some good-looking ladies up there. And he seems to have a type. Not just the age, but the vibe.
Hot.
Yeah. Long torsoed.
Yeah, but what are they? And there's a lot of pressure because you fly. He's flying private with these bitches, so you got to talk.
Oh yeah,
you
know and what I mean? Yeah, come on.
I fly Southwest. I tell my bitch, look, I'm in C boarding group, and you're an A. So
sorry,
see in Denver. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I had private, leave a girl. I had to leave sit a girl right there.
Oh yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Adam.
Go ahead. No,
no. I had to leave a girl because she didn't know who Balky was.
And Balky
was
Bar just, talking about
thank cousin you. Balky.
Oh. Yeah, I go Balky, and she goes who? And I go, what the fuck am I doing here? And I just was over. I was like, I can't. If you don't know Balky, I'm like,
because what else do they
Meepos.
Not know?
Meepos. Yeah. He's from the island of Meepos.
Balky, but don't be ridiculous.
That's the best opening of a show ever.
It's a really good theme song.
God, that
I watched that show. Shit in my loneliest, darkest days. They would play it. I remember they're rerunning it or something, but I just remember Friday nights it would come on like ABC, and then I'd have nothing to do, and I was sitting in my first apartment, and everyone was out getting laid and having fun, and I'd just sit home and see what Cousin Balky was up
to. Dude, he was great. Whatever happened to Larry, the character? I never saw him in anything after that.
Yeah.
He kind of – well, they had a poor man's version of – Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari, which is one of them kind of went off to do something. And then the other kind of worked, you know what I mean, but never did what the other one did. In this case, Balky sort of went on to work and the other one did nothing. Like I've never seen that person again. But it's still the chasm between the two careers is still the same. But Tom Hanks is, you know, to the moon. Right. I don't know what happened.
He guest starred on a bunch of stuff. Law and Order, Succession. He had two episodes.
Oh, the Cousin Balky's.
Martin Baker.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
well,
so good
I stand
for him.
Corrected. And Peter Scolari died?
I think he died, yeah. Because he was on Girls. Remember, he was
Girls.
Lena Dunham's father
right.
on Girls.
That's right.
If at some point we want to play the Perfect Strangers theme song, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
We should now. Now we have to.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Adam, do you remember that, like this was probably 8 years ago, there was a pilot for some martial arts show that they were doing, and it was me and Stefan Bonner were hosting it, and then you came in for a segment, and you and I reviewed 70s kung fu movies.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes, I remember that. We shot that out here.
I thought it was somewhere around here, wasn't
it? Not too far from here, but I don't even know what we were.
I don't know what came. Because I kind of lost touch with those dudes, but it was. I mean, they were your friend. Were they like. Because they called you in as a favor. I remember. I was like, how the hell did we get Adam for this? I was like, how did he agree to do this?
We broke down some old kung fu movies.
It was pretty fun. You were fucking hilarious. I remember that. I was like, oh my God. I'm out of my league over here. And I was sitting there, I go, yeah, that guy's from. He's old. And it was like a weird wheelchair guy kicking some other guy's ass. It was absurd.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was funny. I thought that was the best segment in the thing. And I thought, then they cut it up all weird. I was like, what the fuck? Why don't you just highlight
I've
that
done
Adam
so
segment?
Many fucking projects that I can't keep anything straight anymore.
That's crazy.
But that happened. Like,
yes, that did happen. Yeah. And it was shot in
was like 8 years
like
ago,
Burbank, about 2 miles from here. All right, we'll play.
Yay.
Play the beginning of Bosom.
Perfect
Stranger, sorry. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, for real. Yeah,
I like that synsonic drum. I don't know about you.
Sometimes the world looks perfect. Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling. This song is a hit.
This is the same guy that did all the jingles for the.
Of course it is. It's about to kick. Nothing's gonna stand in my way. This flame in my heart, like a long lost friend, gives every dark street a light at the end.
Now he's back in Meepos. He's a shepherd.
Yep. He's leaving. Like an early Borat.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Getting on a cart. Taken to the big city.
A medical burst. Nothing's going to stop me now.
A container ship over or double hold tanker. He took a tanker, like they just stole some B-roll of a fucking tanker ship there.
It's just great.
Taking the bus. And they're ending up in the same
Chicago,
place.
Right?
Yeah. Chicago, yeah. Yeah.
Now, we established that this was an early opening to the show because I remember later on, like, he was the newspaper writer and he'd open the paper and look at first page one, like, oh, no, open up to page eight, and there's an article.
And they were at a Cubs game in the later on.
All Chicago.
Yeah, but that young bitch didn't know any of it.
Yeah, dude. I said, Balky. She goes, huh? And I said, this is
That's
all
it. That's yeah. it. Finish yeah, the blowjob, and then we're done. Then we're done. And I'll fantasize about who I want to fantasize about because it's my blowjob. Right. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Ah, my cliff! Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, last but not least, there's the Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show. If you're a fan of fascinating podcasts with interesting people, you should definitely check it out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks to Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter anymore. Or you can go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life. Like routine changes to boost your productivity or slight mindset tweaks that change how you see the world. I enjoy the show. Jordan's been on a few times, been on me and Dr. Drew's show a few times. Interesting guy. So I think you're going to enjoy it as well. You can search out the Jordan Harbinger Show. That is H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. And you can get it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to finer podcasts. It's a Jordan Harbinger Show. Adam Ray can be found doing comedy at the Tempe Improv tonight through Sunday. So check that out. Amir Kay off Cabot Comedy. That's September 16th and 17th as well. And podcast Salty Locks available wherever you listen to finer podcasts. And Amir Comedy, AmirComedy.com is where you can go for all the live dates. I'm going to be in Austin at Cap City Comedy Club coming up September 9th and 10th. And you can go to amcroll.com for all the live shows out there and check out the new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. So, till next time, it's Adam. For Adam and Amir and Gina and Bald, say it. Mahalo.
Shut up, Amir.
Make sure you pick up a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere, all the time, at finer bookstores. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see Adam Carolla live at adamcarolla.com.
Do you own, do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.